But you know, the ancient word, I found something on the internet, I seen it, and so I copied it, and it's about truth, the ancient word. And it says this: people are okay with the truth as long as it doesn't correct, affect, change, or disturb the way they think, feel, live, or act. Amen? That's kind of where we're at. Newsflash, that ain't the truth. The real gospel will correct you, affect you, change you, and disturb you in your sinful and hypocritical state, and then teach you how to think, feel, live, and act the right way, the word way. Amen? Now that's truth. So a lot of people are at that first part. You know, I've heard them say before, well, you know, that preacher, he preached right at me. How dare he do that? I'm not going back again. You know, and that goes along with everybody welcoming Chris. You know, that's, Chris is such a nice guy. He held the door open for me and everything. And, you know, and everybody's thrilled that he's back. And that's good. But, you know, with me, they say, oh, it's you again. So I'm lacking something. I don't know what it is. Must be charisma. But I'm lacking. But anyway, if you would turn in the gospel to Luke chapter 17. Starting with verse 26. And as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be also in the days of the Son of Man. They ate, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. You know, this is referring to the rapture of the church, what's going to happen. I believe soon. I don't know whether it's a few days, weeks, months, years. Doesn't matter. But we need to be ready. You know, have you ever gotten hurt sharing the word before, or trying to talk with people and they would reject you or say that you're wrong and talk bad about you later and all this kind of, have you ever had that? You know, I kind of wonder what Noah felt like. You know, it took him, I think it was 120 years to build the ark. And it's like, I believe that he did a lot of sharing during that time. I think he was trying to reach people and help and say, look, guys, wake up. God said, there's going to be a flood. Of course, they all laughed and flood, yeah, right, you know. And so they disagreed with him and they didn't want to hear what he had to say. And of course, with him sharing, he's hoping that people change, but he never had one convert in 120 years. Only his own family, only his own kids. You know, some of us don't even have our own kids. And this is a bad, bad world of things that are going on. And, you know, we get discouraged easily. And I know I get discouraged. You know, I'm kind of discouraged with a few things now. One is with prison. They decided, well, we want to discuss a subject. You know, so now they don't have preaching. They just want to discuss a subject. So they break up in their small groups, five or six people, and they talk. And some of the talks are good and stuff. So I'm not against that. And then there's the other one that just wants to do, we're in Romans. And I went and here they taught Thursday on that. And a lot of them didn't know what they were really trying to say. I don't know whether they didn't have, you know, what they needed to really get into it, to be able to share it. So, but in doing that, you know, I get a little out of place. It's like, man, there's a lot of learning that we need to do and to be ready for the Lord. Because, you know, it's important. It's really important. And sometimes we don't realize the importance. But with me getting upset is kind of like, how can I say it? You ever kind of like things your way? I don't know how else to say it. So.
Watch it.
So that's kind of wrong. What I need to do is learn. See, we need to realize, even with what's going on in the world and all the problems, do you know God's still in control? Do y'all know that? It doesn't look like it, does it? You know, but God's still in control.
He is.
And he knows what he's doing and what's going on. And you know, we're praying, Lord, don't you see this? And God says, I know about that. I know it, you know. But all these things are going on, but God is in control. And I'm going to read another portion about they added in there, they ate and drank, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Then in verse 32, it says, likewise, as it also was in the days of Lot. Y'all remember Lot? Is this the days of Lot that we're kind of living in today? They ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built, they did all these things. But on the day that the Lord, or that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed all of them. Even so will it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Remember Lot's wife? Remember what happened to her when she looked back and became a pillar of salt? See, I believe that she was of that city and Lot married her. I don't know if Lot had a wife before he went down there. I should have researched that better. But anyway, I believe she was at least... she loved that city. And so she looked back when she heard all of the commotion and the things that were going on, people screaming and all of this. And she looked back as in a longing way. It's like, you're destroying my whole life, what I was always used to, what I even loved or tolerated. And you know, sometimes that's what we do. We may not be happy with the things that we're doing, but we continue to tolerate. It's bad, it's not what God wants, but we tolerate that. We let, oh well, it can't be changed, or it's not so bad, or it'll be okay. And so we tolerate it. And I don't believe the Lord wants us to tolerate a lot of these things. I talk to a lot of my good Christian brothers who minister with me at the prison in different places, and I share things with them, and they turn me off, is what they, and it kind of discourages me. Well, it makes me angry, is what it does. I'll just be honest. Because they'll bring up a subject, and then I'll talk to them about it, and we'll just get a little deeper in that, and then all of a sudden they just shut up. They're not really listening to you, and they don't want to hear you. And it's like, just leave it alone. I'm happy where I'm at. I may not have it all together, but it's okay. I can deal with it. I'm good. You know, I'm doing this little, at least I'm going to prison and doing that, but let's just kind of leave other, I don't know if that's really what they're thinking, but that's how it comes across to me. And then it makes me think, wow, people with strong convictions and deep faith in the Word of God and stand on the Word, it's kind of like it's better not to have that. You know, but isn't that kind of a pity party? And I have them pity parties. You know, it's God. What good am I? You know, I want to take these stands and I share, and I'm always in trouble. That's why my wife said, do you enjoy making people angry? Well, and you've heard it too. I have strong convictions. I get in the Word and I know what God has shown me, and I've seen things happen. And I can't deny that. And I won't deny it. You hear me talk about the Holy Spirit. I used to try to hide the Holy Spirit. I've been kicked out of a church before because I spoke of the Holy Spirit. And so I was going to hide him. And I couldn't even hide him. And then one day the Holy Spirit spoke to me. And he wasn't happy because I hid him. And that's why I share every opportunity I get. I'll share, even though it may upset people. But see, I want to share the word. I want to do what the Lord gives me to do. Because I know the rapture is going to happen soon. And I know we need to wake up and realize that God loves us. He's in control and he wants to change us. See, he wants us to be there on that day. He wants to take us up with him, all of us. But I'm afraid there's going to be a lot of people that, Christians, a lot of, you may not believe that, but I believe that's true. But you know, a lot of times when you talk rapture, there's people that become fearful when they hear that. And it's like, we don't need to be fearful, we just need to be ready. That's all we need to do. And it's easy to be ready. It's just change your heart. Say, Lord, Lord, change me. I want a heart for you. Give me that hunger, that thirst, that desire for you. And he'll do that. And then you don't need to have any fear whatsoever or worry about, am I going to make it? But you know, there's a lot of people that say, well, I'm a member of a church. You know, I went forward one day and I received Christ. Isn't that good enough? Well, it is the beginning for sure. But you know, a lot of people just stand on that and say that, well, I'm ready to go. There's no problem. You know, and it's like, you never hear talking about Jesus. I was at work and this guy was telling dirty jokes. When I walked by, I heard some of it. And I'm thinking, Lord, I want to witness to him when I get an opportunity here. So later that day, I had that chance. And so I started sharing with him about Jesus. And he says, Jim, are you trying to convert me? And I said, well, I sure love to tell you about Jesus. He said, but Jim, I'm saved already. I'm like, you are? I mean, I've been dumbfounded. It was like, really? And you know, that could be, but that's where some people are. And that's what the Lord wants to bring us out of. You know, it's really important to be ready for when the Lord comes. Let's use this scripture. First Thessalonians 4:18 says, this is not as in God's, God doesn't want us to debate about the rapture. This is God's intent. Rather, to rapture should be 1 Thessalonians 4:18. Did you get it? Yeah. That's not what it says. Yeah. I got a different Bible. All right, let's look at this one then. I just haven't found it yet. She's one of those. Matthew 24:44. Look at that one. It says, therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. So be ready. We need to be ready for that. You know, as Noah preached, he shared, but he worked. And he prepared. He knew it was coming. Can you imagine 120 years? No converts. More people were starting to make fun of him. Crowds would gather and look at the progress and think, boy, how dumb. You know, he thinks he heard from God. Build an ark, he says. How silly. They had never seen a boat before, much less an ark. So the rapture of the church is the event in which God snatches away all believers from the earth in order to make way for his righteous judgment. Do you know that that's why the rapture is going to happen? See, God is giving enough time. The reason we're taking so much time now is there's still people being won to the Lord. And the Lord wants them all to go with him. So he's holding off time, waiting, maybe waiting for you or even for me to get ready so that we can go. But you see, when he does come, and the reason that he's taking his church out is because he's allowing the sinful people who do not love him or want him or anything to do with him to play out all of their sinful nature, because he's going to judge it. And see, that's what the 7-year tribulation is all about. It's God's judgment on this earth for those who wouldn't listen to the gospel. You know, we got so many people now that said, man, they've been talking a rapture for how many years? Reading the Bible, over 2,000 years, they were looking for it back then. And he says it still hasn't happened. So who says it's ever going to happen? Well, the word says it's going to happen. We just don't know when. The Lord says just be ready. But there's people have thrown it all away. It's like, not true. It's not going to happen. So God is going to judge this world with his righteous judgment. And that's to be poured out on the earth during the tribulation period. And of course, if you want to read more about the rapture, it's described more in 1 Thessalonians 4:13-18 and 1 Corinthians 15-54. So when this happens, it says that first of all, God will resurrect all believers who have died, give them glorified bodies, and take them from the earth along with all living believers who will also be given glorified bodies at that time. Folks, we get new bodies. We get new bodies. There won't be any sickness in it. Won't be crippled. They'll be perfect. And they have to be because they're going to last you for an eternity. And you all know how long eternity is, right? We live with that all the time. Anybody know how long eternity is? I was raised Catholic, and I can remember in one of our classes that we had, the priest said, here's what how eternity is. He says, have you ever picked up some sand on the beach or wherever? He said, try to count every one of those little grains of sand. And he says, man, in just a little bit that you pick up, he said, there's so many. But he said, take all of those grains of sand in all the world and all the beaches and everywhere. He said, count each one of those and then multiply each one of them by 1,000 years. And he said, that would even be the beginning of eternity. Folks, we're preparing for a long time. Amen?
Yes.
And you really want to be, you know, we all want to really be ready, and we really want to take as many people with us. So that's what we're all about, is being out there, rubbing shoulders, talking with people, sharing with them, loving them. You know, there's different ways to minister to people. You know, a lot of people think, well, I just go and I'll share or I'll give them a gospel tract. Well, that's probably good, but you know what helps more? If you're involved with somebody, if you're friends with them, or you rub shoulders with them once in a while, have them for dinner or whatever, maybe pray for them sometime. And so you become friends, you kind of know each other. Well, then you can say, you know, the Lord may give you something to share. Maybe they have a hurt and they'll ask you, can you pray for me? I mean, you go to church, you believe in prayer. Oh, yeah. So will you pray for me? Oh, I'd love to. And you can pray for them and then you can share different things with them. You know, sometimes you can just go up to somebody. You know, this little gal that was a hippie, and I think I've told you before, but we've got some people that haven't heard it. So I'll share it with them. But anyway, she's a hippie gal, and I always passed her by. Well, I had shortly been saved, and I walked by her one time, and she says, hi, Jim, how was your weekend? And that's the first time she ever talked to me. And why I never talked to her, I don't know. But she was this hippie gal, you know. And so I kind of stayed away from them because I didn't want problems with pot and all this stuff. And so I was about 3 or 4 steps past her. And I stopped. And I thought, you ask, I'm going to tell you. So I went back down and I stood there and I said, let me tell you about my weekend. I said, God's been dealing with me for several days and I've been hunting for Jesus, salvation. I said, I don't know where to get it, how to do it. But finally, a good friend of mine invited me to church. And I went to church and it was several weeks ago when I started that. And then one night, the message was preached and the invitation was given. And I went forward, and I received Jesus in my life. Yeah. And I told her how I felt and what God did in my life and just how excited I am in serving him. And she's like, really? Really? I said, yeah, if you want to know for sure, I said, why don't you go to church this Sunday? And when the invitation's given, run up to the front and receive Jesus. And she says, I just might do that. So that Sunday, she did that. She went to church. The invitation was given, but she hesitated in going, and it was a short invitation. They only sang a couple of stanzas or verses, and then they quit. And then the preacher dismissed everybody, so they were all going, but she stayed in her seat, and she began to cry. And finally, the pastor looked over and heard her crying and seeing her still there. And it's like, you know, see, the preacher didn't expect anybody to want to come forward. That's the way it is in most churches. They don't expect anybody. But let me ask you this. Why do you preach then? Didn't we just read how the truth changes and directs?
Yes, it does.
So there's changes. You're preaching for change. You're teaching truth for people to get them ready for the rapture and for the coming of the Lord. And so anyway, the preacher sat down with her and he says, can I help you? And she says, She says, I missed it. I missed it. I'm going to hell. And he says, what? She said, well, Jim told me that if I went forward in the invitation that Jesus would come into my heart and I would be saved. And I missed it. And the pastor said this. He says, you didn't miss it. He said, all you need to do is right now, let's ask Jesus into your heart and he'll save you. Yes, amen. So she did. So when I seen her Monday and I walked by, she said, hey, Jim. I said, well, yeah. She said, guess what happened this weekend, this Sunday? I said, tell me about it. And so she told me all of that. And just excited, bubbly, just kind of floating, a totally different person, set free. And, you know, it was like, wow. All I knew about getting saved was going forward during the invitation. That's all I knew. We used to drive to Jeff City, 50-mile drive from where I live to go to work. And we carpooled. So there's six men in the car. And I had this friend of mine sitting in the middle in the back seat. And I started sharing with him because I thought, I'm going to win him to the Lord. So I started sharing Jesus with him. All little bit that I knew. And I did that for half the trip up there that we talked. Nobody else said a word. And then a guy, I never did win this guy to the Lord. And I'm like, I must be Noah. Never affected him at all. A guy in the front, Danny Cantrell was his name. He turned around with tears down his face. He said, Jim, thank you. I just received Jesus. I'm like, Lord, is my aim off that bad? But folks, I'm just saying, God knows what he's doing and he knows how to do it. He just needs us to just get full of him and bubble over into the world and to our neighbors and to other people that were around. That's all he needs. He'll do the work. Yes. Amen? Yes. So that's what it's all about. Getting people ready for the rapture and the time that Jesus is coming back. The rapture will involve an instantaneous transformation of our bodies to fit us for eternity. We know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. That's 1 John 3:2. The rapture is to be distinguished from the second coming, though. At the rapture, the Lord comes in the clouds to meet us in the air, 1 Corinthians 4:17. At the second coming, though, the Lord descends all the way to the earth to stand on the Mountain of Olives, resulting in a great earthquake followed by a defeat of God's enemies. Zechariah 14:3 through 4 talks about that. 2 Thessalonians 2:7 through 8 talks about this. It says, for the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. That's the Holy Spirit. And it's also us. Because we have the Holy Spirit. And he's the one that speaks through us and ministers to us. And when he's taken out, we're gone too, believe me. So he now, because of the Holy Spirit, restrains until he's taken away. And then the lawless one, that's the Antichrist, will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. Folks, you think God's not in control? All he's going to do is show up and breathe. And all of the powers there be will be gone.
Glory to God.
That's our God. Don't ever think that he is weak in any way, because he's not. You know, we've seen a movie at the church. What was it called? The Letter to the Church? Or Letter?
A Letter to the American Church.
I think A Letter to the American. Well, we went and watched it, and wow, it was good. And it showed a lot of things, but they were trying to, you know, we were in different groups afterwards, and we talked about what we could do or what it meant to us and stuff like that. And a lot of people, well, we can stand up for this and we can do that. And yes, we probably need to do a lot of that. But, you know, to really stand and come against the government and the powers that be, show me scripture. And that's what I want to ask him. Show me scripture. I'm not afraid to do it, but show me scripture where it says we're to do that. Have you ever seen Romans 13, 1? Let's look at it. Romans 13, 1. And 2, it says, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Now, folks, when I first read this, I was upset. It can't be with this government. Verse 2. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. Folks, sometimes scripture's hard to take. But I want to tell you, I remember, I had just become a Christian, I believe, when they took prayer out of school, and the church was silent. We let them. I remember when they voted in Roe versus Wade, and abortion started, and the church was silent. And the church has been very laxed, I think, through all of that time up until now. I'm starting to see a change. But the church has been quiet for the most part. There have been a few, but very few. And I believe, you know, I believe that God places government and authorities in position to maybe wake people up. Look at Israel. Whenever they went after false gods and began to sin and fall away from God, what did he do? He sent other countries to come and conquer them. A lot of them were taken away for years and years. They were so persecuted. But when they turned back to God and prayed, God brought them back.
Yes.
And set them free.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
Now, folks, the world's getting bad, and the bad are getting worse and worse. But my prayer is that the holy will get even holier. Because
yes.
We need God. You see, we can't stay lukewarm and survive. We've got to become the church, God's people.
Yes. Amen. Amen.
And God says, I gave those leaders, and you don't like them, do you? But he said, you did nothing to stop any of it. You didn't even care. But now all of a sudden you're rising up in arms like you're going to change everything now. And it won't happen. You see, God knows what he's doing.
Yes, he does.
And things are going to get worse and worse.
Scripture.
So folks, that's what God is trying to do, I believe, is wake up his people. trying to wake us up. Look at the evil that's taken place. We allowed it. We didn't have to, but we did. All these horrible things that are happening and have happened, we let happen. And most of our churches now, even when we have an invitation, a lot of them don't even have an invitation. You know, I used to preach all the time at the old folks' home there.
Independent Village.
Wonderful place, wonderful people. Had a little old gal. She was just turned 100 years old. And I would talk to her because she'd come every Sunday, sit right up towards the front. And I would go and talk to her. I said, "How you doing?" I said, "Are you coming closer to the Lord? Are you able to hear and understand what I'm trying to say about that?" Because I always preached like a salvation message. And she was a Catholic lady, very nice lady. And she would just say to me, she says, "I'm praying for you to be converted." I'm like, "Well, okay." I said, "I think the two of us are at a stalemate right now, because either of us are not going to change." But it wasn't shortly after that she passed. And most of the people there, as I would share, they would enjoy the message and stuff. Man, we talked about the woman at the well for how many months?
About 2 or 3.
You know, because they'd come in, and I would say, "Do y'all know what we're going to talk about today?" They said, "Yeah, the woman at the well." Lovely, lovely people. But you know, their attitude was, "I'm happy. I'm in a good place. I've got lots of friends and I don't want any more. I'm old. What can you expect of me? I'm old and I'm set my ways and I'm in a good place. All I want to do now is just continue to enjoy myself and then die." And I couldn't get them over it. I couldn't get them past that. Folks, you ain't old until you die.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? God couldn't even use Moses until he was 80 years old. I'm finally learning how to preach. I may not sound good yet, but at least I'm learning how to share some things that sometimes people understand what I'm trying to say. Folks, God is real. He can use you. I don't care where you're at or where you've been. Come to Jesus and he'll change you.
Yes, he will. He changes us. Amen. As we keep you.
That's what it's all about. And then the rapture's going to come. I've had so many people come to me and say, "Jim, thank you. Thank you for not giving up on me and for sharing. But there's some that I didn't share with, and they're going to say to me, 'Why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you tell me?'" And I don't want any more of those. Folks, if you will allow me, I would like to do things in the closing just a little bit different, if you'll give me just a little bit of space. I think the invitation is so important because it's a time that the church will pray for those that need healing, or they need to come back to the Lord, or they need something special, or for their family, or for whatever need it might be. The church will be praying for those people and allowing them to go forward. And then this will be the place where those that pray will pray the prayer of faith over them. We We need to be at a point, folks, to realize that, all right, God, we heard your word. Now we want to do it and receive it. Amen? Yeah. And that's what the invitation's all about, because sometimes that's the only chance we get outside, then it slips our mind or it passes us or we don't feel the anointing to make that move or make that choice, and then we lose it. You see, the word even talks about how the word is planted and how some of it falls on the rocks and on, you know, different things that the birds come and eat it, and the devil then says he comes and steals it from us. And that's what happens. He steals it from us. So I believe the invitation, it doesn't have to be that long. Just depends on who wants a touch from God. And then we need to pray as a church and then believe that the Holy Spirit's going to minister, that God's going to touch people's lives and hearts. Do y'all understand what I'm saying? Because we do it at, you know, we close in prayer and then we say, well, the prayer people are going to be up here. And then people just talk. And nothing wrong with that. But what it does, and I notice it even at Harbor Light, they give what all of you that need to come and pray, you can come and pray. But the rest of yous, you can get up and leave. Well, then it takes away. There's like when as soon as that happens, the anointing is quenched. Folks, we got to show God honor and respect. It's like praise and worship. The church has got to get in. We can't have people having conversations around because it breaks the anointing. Right. You see, the Holy Spirit is grieved a lot of times, and through that we quench him. And so we need to honor. Can you give the people that may need prayer, could you give them just a little bit of your time and your prayer effort? So that they can get the touch from God that they really need and want. Amen. Amen. Can we try that this morning? I mean, I'm a nobody. I'm just throwing this out to you. You can say, Jim, you're out of order, and you know, we'll not do that. But can you give that to us today for those that may need? And don't be afraid to come up for prayer. The main thing is you making the effort, and God blesses the effort.
Yes, he does.
And those that pray are prayer-only servants, doing the best that they can. But God is the one that gives the results and does what we ask. Amen? Amen. Joyce, would you come, please? So I want to pray, then, if we would, stand, and our prayer warriors, whoever wants to pray for anyone, come up, and anyone that needs prayer, you come up as well. Just do it. Don't think, well, what are people going to think? Just do it, okay? Father, I thank you for your word this time. And Father, we know the rapture is going to happen, Lord, but we need to be ready so that we can get others to come with us. So Father, I just thank you. Thank you so much for your word, your truth. And Lord, I ask that you would just move on the hearts and the lives of your people, that you would just touch us all, and those that come for prayer, Lord, that they will indeed be ministered to by you through us. And we thank you for that in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Father, we do again thank you for your presence. Thank you for your touch on all of us. Lord, we just want to glorify you. Father, use us all in a mighty way. And we go here from this day, Lord, from hearing your word, determined, may we be determined that we're going to let you shine through us. And we're going to rely on your leading and your power to minister to those that you send us to. Thank you, Lord, for that wonderful opportunity that you're giving us all. We use it for your glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, folks. That was so good. Thank you.